ॐ ॐ श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः गुकारस्त्वन्धकारो वै ऋकारस्तन्निवर्तकः अन्धकारनिरोधित्वात् गुरुरुत्तभिधीयते ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु ॐ श्रीभगवानुवाच अनाश्रितः कर्मफलम् कार्यं कर्म करोति यः स संन्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः यं संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं तं विद्धि पाण्डव न ह्यसन्न्यस्तसङ्कल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन आरुरुक्षोर्मुनेर्योगम् कर्मकारणमुच्यते योगारूढस्य तस्यैव शमः कारणमुच्यते The opening verse in the sixth chapter introduces the topic already discussed. In the second, third, fourth, and the fifth chapter, this discussion is going on. Arjuna's doubt also, was presented in the second chapter by Arjuna regarding this karma and renunciation of karma. Karma and karma sannyasa. This is an old problem. This problem everybody has. When you have to get up in the morning and go to work, there is always a feeling that I think I should take sannyasa. So this is not a new problem or an old problem. This is a human problem. To get up and do is always a problem. And without doing, if I can accomplish something, that's what we want. You know? That's why people buy lottery tickets. So far, a small investment of $1. So any gain is acceptable. If one can hit a jackpot, why not? And therefore, there is a love for achieving something big with a least investment, minimum investment, investment in terms of time, in terms of effort, in terms of emotional commitment, pursuit. Well, all this are painful, imply lot of doing. Suppose there is such a thing as moksha. It's not afterlife moksha, otherwise there will be no discussion here. Arjuna is not talking about afterlife moksha. He wants to live a life of a sadhu right now. He is in Kurukshetra. And he has to fight. In fact, he came ready to fight. He was armed. He was ready to fight, and people are all there in front of him against whom he had to fight. That was the original situation. Krishna obliged to be his sarathi, to be his driver. Now driver has become his guru. You know, like Jeeves, the cook. You remember that? That Woodhouse. Butler. No, Jeeves was the cook, and his boss. Bertie Wooster. Yeah. Jeeves used to advise him. But here, the driver of the chariot. Don't say driver. Ye to Bhagavan Krishna hai, Dwarka Nath hai, and therefore the Lord of Dwarka, King of Dwarka, ye to Nagaraha, Giridhara Nagara, Miraji, all the time she talks about Giridhara Nagara. Nagara means urbanite. Dwaraka Puri, one of the ancient cities, was Dwaraka. Kashi, Mathura, Mithila, Ayodhya, Kanchi, Pataliputra, all these are old cities, ancient cities of India. One of them was Dwaraka. Therefore, he was Nagara. Nagaratagataha. Nagaraha. Giridhar Nagar. An urbanite. Is not a Gokula Bala. So, for Miraji, is not Gokula Bala. He is not just a Yadava. He is Nagara. Miraji's way of looking at him, Nagara. Giridhara Nagara. By Arjuna's imploration, prarthana, he was brought to occupy that seat, not an enviable seat. All the arrows would pass through Krishna. That's why Arjuna wanted him there. And he knew he would be safe. When Lord Krishna is in front of him, when he is in his refuge, there is no chance for him to get an arrow that would kill him. He may lose his crown, but not his neck. He knew. That's why he chose Krishna to come to him. A non-fighting Krishna. At the cost of an army, it was offered to him. The army from Dwaraka was offered to Arjuna. And he said, I don't want this army. I want you to come. So it's an either or. This either or always is a problem. What an either or. Either you want this army with all the supply department, or you want me, a non-fighting Krishna, during wartime, one more mouth to feed. A non-fighting Krishna do you want? Or do you want this army? The entire army. Narayanas. Invincibles. Yadavas. No Yadava can get killed by a non-Yadava. You require another Yadav for Yadav. Really true. you talk to Lal Prasadji. You require a Yadava for a Yadava. That's how it is. No Yadav can get killed by a non-Yadav. And they all got killed by themselves only. They fought each other and then died, all of them, at the end of the war. So such army, invincible army, Arjuna chose Krishna. Duryodhana was happy. He thought that Arjuna was bevakuf, sentimental, fool to choose Krishna, non-fighting Krishna. If Duryodhana could pray, This was the time he prayed. When the offer was there, Duryodhana is standing there, Arjuna is there, as Arjuna was given this offer. Both of them have come, they have expressed the help of Krishna. And in this wartime help, and Krishna offers Arjuna the choice, because he happened to see him first. Purposely he saw him first. He happened to see him first, because he sat at his feet. He saw him first. And then Krishna asked, Arjuna, how come you are here? Opening his eyes, he was sleeping. At least eyes closed, he was lying there. And he saw Arjuna at his feet. Arjuna, where did you come? And Duryodhana, you know, before Arjuna would ask anything, he wanted to make sure that he was also so recognized. I'm sure what he did, I don't know. Might have made some noise. Kuch na kuch. Then Krishna, oh, Maharaji is here. Wow. What can I do? You know. Duryodhana says, Arjuna says, you know, I want your help. Duryodhana says, I want your help. Krishna says, Arjuna, I saw you first, I make an offer to you. Duryodhana feels bad. Then he said, Arjuna, a non-fighting Krishna you can choose, or the entire army of Narayanas will come to you. They're called Narayanas. Yadava army will come to you. Choose between the two. This was the time Duryodhana prayed, I suppose. That Arjuna should not ask for the army. And his prayers were answered. Arjuna asked for Krishna. That made Duryodhana ecstatic. He was happy. Arjuna was equally happy. Krishna teased him. Afterwards, Krishna teased him. I gave you an army, you chose me, not fighting me. Why did you choose me? I gave you an offer. Arjuna smiled. He said, you know, Krishna, why I chose you. Not that I discount the value of an army. When our number of soldiers is limited, Duryodhana had an army, you know, double foot soldiers, double the number, so many divisions. Arjuna knew And he said, I know the value of an army, but I know much more. What makes the difference between success and failure is one more element, the element of Ishvara, grace, you say, punya, you say. Now when the grace is there standing, I need not tap any more grace. I want to keep the grace with me. You know, Krishna, why I chose you. I have missiles. I can really win this war if only I have your presence with me. In fact, it would be nice if you be my sarathi. That's how Krishna came to be the sarathi. Understand now? If you be my sarathi, if you drive my chariot, I would win the war. Krishna, after some small protest, accepted. In fact, he was waiting for all this. Really? The Gita makes Krishna, Krishna that we are talking about. Therefore, he got a new name, Partha Sarathi. Arjuna came to fight. Arjuna is not interested in fight. Look at that. It's something like, you know, you panic. The fellow applies for an interview. The interview has come. He wanted to give up this job and take up this new job. The interview has come at that time. The fellow panics, he doesn't want to go. So why should I give up this new old job? Panic. Arjuna had a panic attack. Somebody said that also. Arjuna had a panic attack. Not at all. Arjuna was a mature person. A person who was given to dharma. Very sensitive. Highly versatile. Of all the five Pandavas, Arjuna was the most versatile person. Music, dance, anything, name it. Arjuna was the person. Bhima had only one thing extra qualification. He knew how to fight, plus how to cook. Bhima paka. Cooking was entirely different type of cooking. Not for... This is a small nuclear family and all that. some 100,000 people. That kind of cooking, mass cooking, Bhima Paka, famous. So this Arjuna felt he was fighting a war for what? What am I going to accomplish? I should fight, just look at the thinking. I should fight, assuming I am going to win. Nobody can fight without the conclusion that I am going to win. No, you have to know that you are going to win. Then only you can fight. Otherwise you lose the battle before the battle begins. Arjuna knew that he could win. There was no question, he had no fear. Fear, the word spelling of the word he didn't know. That was Arjuna. He had no fear. No chickens in his heart. Clean. This Arjuna, brave, courageous, skilled. You can be brave and courageous and get into troubles all the time. No skills. Skills, missiles. No way of getting defeated at anybody's hands. Even Bhishma could not defeat him. Arjuna, born of Indra's grace, and therefore this Arjuna was compassionate. As a human being should be, very sensitive. And so when he saw all the people and looked at this side also, then he felt, what a thing I am in for. In fact, he said, how come we decided to come to this war? He asked this question. How come? How could we even decide? Because there is no winner in this war. So in this, people are going to be destroyed. Innocent people. Both sides, assuming that I win, there is not going to be a victory without destroying Bhishma. There is not going to be victory without destroying Drona. All these are revered people for Arjuna. Kripa and all others. And when they fight, they are not sending arrows as they do in Olympic Games. They are sending missiles. Mantra-powered missiles. True or not true? Mahabharata tells us that. So this is going to be war, destruction. And Arjuna could visualize the outcome. He doesn't see a victor there, doesn't want to be a part of this. Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna. I don't have any desire for victory anymore. No victory means no kingdom. I don't want a kingdom. No kingdom means you should be ready to go back to the forest. I am ready for that. Na sukhani kinno rajyena govinda kim bogaihi jivitenava. What I am going to accomplish even living with all the kingdom, etc. I would be haunted by all these, the nightmares of destruction. And therefore, now look at this outcome. These are one outcome. One outcome is victory, throne, and whatever the kingdom, the joy that a kingdom, the pelf and power can bring, pleasure. And a crown, of course, his older brother would be ruling the kingdom, but of course he would be a crown prince in order, down the order. Name, power, but at the destruction of what? My own people. Yaneva hatva na jijivishamaha. Tevastitaf pramukhe dhartarashtraha. Killing whom we don't want to live, those are the people I have to kill. Look at that. Yaneva hatva na jijivishamaha. Jivitum naichamaha. The people killing whom we don't want to live, those are the people standing in front of me. Dhartarashtraha. There's no victory here. Then this is the call of duty. Now there is one, the power, this motivation for power, the motivation is power, the motivation is the pleasure in the wake of power, and all that is power is useless because there will be no pleasure, no joy. When all these people who are supposed to congratulate me after the victory, then I would be wailing for their death. No. It's useless here. There is no victory here. Then what can motivate him? Duty. This duty is always, you know, is a very weak motivating power. The duty. So that is what morning getting up, you know, even for shaving, duty. Duty. Duty, daily duty, 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 duty. Sannyasa. Sannyasa is attractive. It's wonderful. You need not shave. Sannyasa is attractive. Understand now? The worst motivating power, which has no strength whatsoever, is this duty. Nobody tells me, Swamiji, I just love my duty. Oh, this is as a duty of husband. I do everything for my wife. I do the dishes properly. I do everything. I do my duties. Having come to this America, I knew my duties. I am doing my duties. Nobody tells me. They say, Swamiji, why did I come to America? Duties. Nobody seems to enjoy the duty. Any duty. Everybody is complaining about duty. They always tell me, Swamiji, I want to come along with you, but I have got duties. I always tell them, even if you fulfill the duties, don't come along with me. Okay? Sure. So, I am not waiting for you to come along with me, and for you, I mean, to fulfill all your duties. Please be where you are. My teaching is to make you happy where you are. And therefore, not only where you are, what you are. That is the teaching. And that is the teaching. So this duty is a poor motivating force. Unless this duty doing is going to give me something big, then duty should be a sadhana. Right? Duty should be a sadhana, not a musibat. It should be a sadhana. For a duty to be a sadhana, it should be converted into yoga. Yoga means I must have an aim. I must have a goal. Yoga itself is apraptasya prapakam is yoga. Praptasya rakshanam is kshema. The means of accomplishing something to be accomplished is called yoga. But here, yoga is Arjuna, is naturally being born and brought up in a culture where, so this knowledge is always a possibility. Spiritual knowledge, which is otherwise known as moksha, as a purushartha, as a moksha. Moksha means freedom. Known as freedom, and it is a purushartha. It's a thing to be accomplished. The parama purushartha, the only purushartha. It's the biggest thing to accomplish. And this is purushartha. And how it is accomplished? In the form of knowledge. Second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, Lord Krishna keeps on talking about this knowledge. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram eha vidyate. There is nothing equal to this knowledge. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Gain this knowledge. Jnanagni basvasat kurute. This knowledge fire will burn asunder all your karmas. You are free. Wow. Knowledge. So, this knowledge is so important. Knowledge is the end. And for gaining this knowledge, I can take to a life exclusively dedicated. You know, a dedicated life for that knowledge and, you know, freed from all duties. This duty is no musibat duty. So freed from duties, familial duties, social duties, national duties, all these duties absolved, take to sannyasa. life of sannyasa. No duty. Sannyasa means no duty. Understand that? Don't say that. What are the duties of a sannyasi? No duty is sannyasi. Duty free. Really? A sannyasi is duty free. He can walk through. So he is duty free. No national duties, no social duties, no familial duties, not even duties like putra. All these duties are not there. A sannyasi cannot even perform the ritual of Shraddha for his parents. Why? Already he had freed himself from those duties. At the time of sannyasa, he performed the last ritual. Neither anybody has to perform ritual for him. And he does Atma Pinda for himself. And he does for 7 generations, he has performed Ashtashraddha. For all 7 generations, he does Shraddha for all the ancestors. Final ritual is done. That is called sannyasa. Freed from all duties. No religious duty, no social duty. And so duty-free sannyasi. Life is wonderful for this knowledge. This knowledge is the biggest, and the investment is what? Nothing. The only pursuit of knowledge, no duty. That seems to be more attractive, correct? Huh? More attractive than the same moksha without sannyasa, doing karma, duty, as yoga. Look at that, as yoga. Karma yoga. Arjuna's problem, you can understand now. So he thinks that sannyasa is the easiest because no investment, maximum knowledge you get, moksha, freedom. He is ready now for that. Maybe this was proposed to him. Are you ready for sannyasa just before the war? You would say, shara. But now, ready, pakvam, he is ready now. His way of thinking is different, completely changed. Scales of vision. But whether the person is ready for it or not, that's a different thing. Therefore, in the 5th chapter, Arjuna asked a question like that. Lord Krishna answered, without yoga of karma, a life of duty, one is not ready for a contemplative life, sannyasa life. Sannyasa is, even though it is a lifestyle available for you, one has to make a decision, sankalpa, and then take the life of sannyasa. By doing that, one is not ready for a contemplative life. Contemplativeness is a disposition. No disposition is by will enforced. You can't enforce, you can't use your will to smother your emotions. You can't say, you can't give a mandate. Ye shall be compassionate from tomorrow. It's not compassion. One has to discover by taking care of those things which inhibit compassion. You have to let that compassion be. You have to let love be. You have to let caring be. These are all innate to oneself. It is a dynamic form of oneself. Oneself is Purna, Anandaha. The dynamic form, dynamic in the sense related to the world, the same fullness is manifest in the form of compassion, in the form of love, in the form of sharing, in the form of caring. There is no difference between ananda and compassion. Ananda is fullness, related fullness. So is it all depending upon the situation, turns into love and compassion and caring. That's what characterizes the life of a sannyasi, the contemplativeness, ahimsa, is that, so being non-competitive, given to caring, living a life of least disturbance. That's a sannyasa life for which one has to neutralize one's own ragadvesha, which inhibit dharma, swadharma. Why one says with such heena swaram, duty? Where are duty? Why that heena swaram? Why there is no enthusiasm when it comes to doing duty? Because the desire to do is what I want to do, what I like to do, is always different from what I need to do. What I need to do is duty. What I like to do is me. Is me. And therefore, what I need to do is always different from what I like to do. And therefore, what I like not to do is exactly what I need to do. Uncanny. This is how life is. Don't say that it is only with reference to eating. Samaji, whatever I like, I am not supposed to eat. It's true. And whatever I don't like, that alone I'm supposed to eat. Some prarabdha karma. அது என்ன கர்மாவோ பாரு, இட் இஸ் சம் பெக்யூலியர் கர்மா. தட் வாட் யூ வாட் எவர் யூ லைக் தட் இஸ் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி வாட் யூ ஆர் நாட் சப்போஸ் டு டூ. What you don't like, that you are supposed to do. That I am what I like and what I don't like. And I also find myself in a situation where I am called upon to do. Then what is to be done? You know what? Dharma, that is Ishvara's manifestation. What is appropriate is not created by anybody, really speaking. You don't create what is appropriateness. You find yourself in a situation, what is appropriate, well, is already determined, even suppose it is a job that you enter into. Already defined area. They have a job description, you have a slot there, and what is appropriate, what is to be done is already there. There is a certain order there. The order of dharma. The order of dharma is living a life without rubbing against. So I don't rub against. The law of rubbing is the one who rubs gets rubbed. The rubber is rubbed. You can't rub against something without getting rubbed in the process. This is really Veda. This is Hindu religion. This is something we need to know. The whole Gita talks about that dharma is Ishvara. There is a samanya dharma, there is a vishesha dharma. The samanya is general, what we all commonly sense. That I don't want to get hurt, you don't want to get hurt either. No plant, no living organism wants to get hurt. Recognizing that is, of course, samanya dharma. We all sense it. We don't require a prophet for it. These, all the prophecies are after the event only. Already we know what is this prophecy. In fact, prophecies create more problems than what we already know. If we go by what we know, everything will be better. I know that you don't want to get hurt and you know that I don't want to get hurt. It's common knowledge and therefore we respect each other. Samanya dharma, then there is vishesha dharma, accepting this. A surgeon has to hurt. He has to commit an act that would hurt. And to make it easy, there is an accomplice also called anesthesiologist. So that you hurt without the other fellow knowing. Then afterwards he discovers after 1 hour, if he is lucky, I was hurt. That's what V. vishesha dharma. Because the motive is different. Someone wants to help the other. You hurt in order to help. Sometimes truth is very hurtful. You have to tell the truth in a pleasant way or at the appropriate time, even though it is a little hurtful. It has to be told. The teacher's job. What I say, this samanya dharma is there in all vishesha dharma. If I need to live a life of least disturbance, you can understand even etiquette, following etiquette is connected to samanya dharma. Not hurting another. There are different levels of hurting. Not physical hurting alone is hurt. And therefore, just you, if you are sensitive enough, so you can very easily sense how you can be hurtful by being what you are. The language, your demeanor, all this can hurt. Even my way of, you know, this clothes and all that what I wear can hurt some people. Therefore, so you have to be aware what is etiquette, what is proper, what is the least hurtful. I live a life of the least hurting. Very difficult, you know, because commitment, why difficult in the sense that you cannot live a life without hurting. It's always you hurt. And that awareness that is what is called dharma, vishesha dharma. It all gets hooked on that even eating. So in the Indian eating, so there is an etiquette. So there you are not supposed to talk when you eat. My mother used to tell me that don't talk when you eat. Eat when you eat. That's a etiquette. But here it's entirely different. You have to talk. If you don't eat, if you don't talk, you are rude. Correct? You are rude. You change. It doesn't matter. It's just what you can talk. There's nothing wrong. Etiquette. That if you're sensitive. So you learn where to stop, what, how much to do, what to do. So this is all caring. It's all part of caring. The appropriateness also is hooked on to samanya dharma. Therefore the vishesha dharma, swakarma, swadharma, in a given situation, in a given place, and time, what is appropriate is really connected to Ishvara's manifestation of dharma. Because dharma is commonly sensed by all of us. what is commonly sensed is an object of knowledge. That is why commonly sensed. It is there. You sense it. There is a sunrise, we all see. Those who have eyes see. Because there is a sunrise. We commonly see. There is gravitation, we all commonly sense. Because there is a force called gravitation. There is such an order called dharma, therefore we commonly sense without being taught by anybody. And what is as an object of our knowledge is a manifestation of Ishvara. It's given. The given is not separate from the giver. And therefore, this is a very, very big thing for us. That, so living a life of a duty is living in harmony with Ishvara, in the awareness of Ishvara. I live in harmony, dharma aviruddha kamosmi. Even ambitions, desires, all of them do not really disturb anybody. They are vibhutis of Ishvara. Lord Krishna tells, I am in the form of desire in you. But then, even though I am in the form of desire in you, as long as the desire, whose desire conforms to dharma, means desire fulfillment doesn't drive you to transgress dharma. Ishvara. You know? You can't hurt Ishvara to be in touch with Ishvara, you know? You can't. You know, somebody, one fellow went on beating his mother. Then mother was screaming, shouting, hey, what are you doing? And afterwards, wait, he went on. And then she just collapsed. Then afterwards, he gives her fomentation. What are you doing? Mom, I want to do seva to you. That's why, so how can I do seva when you are walking? Therefore, I have to put you to the bed, then I have to do seva. Because mother complained, see that boy, your friend, how he is doing seva to his mother. Because mother is in bed there and then he does. This is seva? And therefore, that seva, you cannot, even though Lord Krishna says, I am in the form of desire. That's fine. That means Bhagavan is too much with you. Because so many desires you have got. Therefore, Bhagavan is in full bloom in his manifestation. And so he has blossomed into funny desires in you. And therefore your fantasies, fancies, oh, Bhagavan is very colorful in me. Wonderful. As long as you don't transgress dharma, because that is also Bhagavan. Right? You can't hurt Bhagavan when you fulfill your desires. Desires are Bhagavan. Because desires are given. It follows an order. Ichha is a shakti. It is Ishvara shakti. But then, when you conform to dharma, then there is even kamya karma is not a problem. Even that is converted into yoga. Even kamya karma, I have this huge ambition. I want to fulfill this ambition. All right, follow dharma. But I want to be a karma yogi also. Yes, you are a karma yogi. Follow, but this is not duty. Fulfilling the ambition is not my duty. Eh? It is your duty. Fulfill your ambition. That is not duty. You can fulfill, you need not fulfill. You have the option. That's your freedom. You fulfill your ambition. But when your efforts, planned efforts, don't bring in the result that you want, how you are going to take it? Ishta anishta upapattishu. Ishta anishta upapattishu praptishu satsu. When the ishteshu, when what is desired by you, acceptable to you, what is not acceptable to you, as they unfold themselves, how you are going to respond to them? That's where Bhagavan again comes. He says, well, if you take them, then if you recognize me, I am the karma paladhata. You are the karma karta. I am the karma paladhata. I am the giver of the fruits of action. If you recognize me, then the result becomes prasada. Coming as it does from Ishvara, therefore it becomes prasada. That prasada buddhi is yoga. Prasada buddhi, attitudinal it is. That is called samachittattvam. It is not an order. By saying sameness of mind is called yoga, nobody is going to have sameness of mind. Live in the present, don't think about the past, don't think about the future. That is, nobody is going to drop the past and stop projecting future. This buddhi is awareness of Ishvara as karma paladata. Therefore, swadharma. And your response to, not only doing what is to be done, even going along with your ambitions, desires, fancies, as long as you don't transgress dharma and take the results of karma as prasada, you are still a karma yogi. Yogi for what? What is the motivation? Moksha. Karma yoga is not meant for yoga sake. Moksha sake. Because that knowledge requires that contemplativeness. The human being has to become a complete person. That completeness is the, as a human being, there is a certain access of growth, and as long as I can grow into that person, a complete, compassionate, caring, giving person, until I reach that kind of a person I am capable of, I have access to grow. Means I have room to grow. I keep growing. That's called karma yoga, life of karma yoga. Then knowledge becomes so easy. Then is a walkover. Jnanam is walkover. Therefore, aru rukshor muner yogam karma karanam uchyate. Aru rukshoho, munehe. So for that viveki munihi, manana shilaha munihi, for that muni, the viveki, the discriminative person who has got moksha in view, for that person who wants to have a complete say over raga dvesha. One doesn't come under raga and dvesha. Means one doesn't conform to dharma with conflict, with murmur, with complaint. But conformity to dharma is spontaneous, is very natural. Till then there is growth. It's wonderful, you know. Conformity to dharma is natural. You know, when Dasharatha gave Kaikeyi without a witness a promise, I will fulfill. Yeah, I give you these boons, you can encash them whenever you want, whatever you want. Out of trust he gave this blank check. Not even a check is there. It's only word. And Kaikeyi encashes in favor of her son Bharata becoming the crown prince. That is okay. It's not okay, but it is okay. And the older brother, who is the rightful crown prince, should go to the forest. Why? That's what she wanted. Kaikeyi. You know, what Dasharatha should do when he asked this, when she asked this. She is Kaikeyi from Kaikeyi Desha, Caucasus Mountains, I think. He should have sent her back to Arab countries. Go to your country. That's what he should have done. Or he should have said, why? When did I tell you? The other day. What, which other day? You said, you know, you told me that I am giving you boon and all that. What? I never told you. Boon? What boon? No, you told me boon. You gave me boon. What boon? Did you encash the boon? No, I didn't encash. Why didn't you encash? I told you I am a king, I have got a lot of things to do. I must have given you, then you should ask me then itself. Then why didn't you ask? I forgot about all that. That's all what should have told. Look at this. Dasharatha pleads, falls at her feet. Don't ask me this. Hey, you are killing me. I cannot be without Rama. Let Bharata rule the kingdom. Let Rama be around. Why Rama should go to the forest? Why? Why should he go? Come on, Kaikeyi, don't ask this. Dasharatha was incapable of going against dharma. His own words. That is called dharma. Understand? It's not conformity to dharma is dharma. It is incapacity to go against our dharma. Against dharma is called dharma. It's entirely a different level. The incapacity. That is called dharma. Conformity to dharma, any idiot will do. Especially if it is convenient, it is okay. That incapacity To go against the dharma is called growth. That is the inner growth. Ramayana teaches us something. It's not the frailty of the woman is talked. It is the incapacity of a grown-up person, the incapacity of a mature person to go against dharma is what is talked about. And therefore, that is karma yoga. Karma yoga phalam is there. Phalam is very big. And therefore, there is the motive force, you know, this doing swadharma is highly motivated. It is not weak. Because it's a life of yoga, what is at stake is limitlessness. Infinite is what is at stake. And you don't require anything else to motivate you. Anything is nothing. Anything, any sacrifice is nothing. If what is to be gained is my being free from being small and insignificant, inadequate human, self-aware being. In my self-awareness, if I am going to see the limitlessness, fullness, what is it? What is it that I cannot give up? That is the motivation. Therefore, swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo bhayavaha. Therefore, so this indriyasya indriyasya arthe ragadvesha vyavastitav tayorna vasamagacche taukasya paripantinav. So do not come under the spell of ragadvesha. Do what is to be done. Therefore, the ragadveshas have to realign themselves to become the ragadvesha means what is to be done is your raga, what is not to be done is your dvesha. Even if you have ambitions and your acceptance of the situations with the prasada buddhi is also very natural in the awareness of Ishvara. Therefore, with Ishvara buddhi alone, with the knowledge of Ishvara alone, karma yoga is possible. This is why Lord Krishna says, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karana Muchyate. Yoga Rudasya Tasyaiva Shamak Karana Muchyate. Sannyasa is afterwards. So we will talk about that when we come back next time. Now we have a small break we'll have or what now? 10 minutes break? Yeah. 10 minutes break, then we'll come back. Yeah. Okay. All right.